We are about to...
We are recording.
We are recording!
Alright.
Alright.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Alright. Like, is he really going to repeat everything? Let's test this. Alright, here we go.
Alright, here we go.
Your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast. Yay! Okay, I need you all to cheer with me.
Yay!
This is a group participation.
I'm trying.
Daniel.
I'm trying.
I am your host, Marcus, and on this episode, we're going to actually discuss several different things, because it's, you know, not like we haven't maybe released one of these in over a month. So, joining me on today's discussion is Nathan Shepherd.
Well, hello.
Daniel Slade.
Well, hello.
And Liz Wilkinson.
Hi, hi.
So, madam, I call this table to order.
You have your gavel.
No. I use my sword instead. We are supposedly knights after. Although Liz, I don't know what the female version of a knight is called.
I believe they're. No. Women can be knighted as well, so.
Okay, well then never mind.
Are you sure? I'm pretty confident they can't.
You can knight them. It's just like when you refer to a male knight, it's sir. When you refer to a lady knight, it would be...
What? My lady?
My lady.
My lady.
Yeah, you're right.
My lady.
My lady.
Let's not do that.
All right, well, to kick things off, I wanted to give you all an opportunity to give your favorite game of 2015. Starting with Nate. Go, now.
Hey, hurry, what's hurry, up? Favorite hurry, game of 2015 hurry. Would definitely be The Witcher 3. Easy. Boom. Done.
Yeah, I guess that actually is a pretty good choice.
Just dropped it, man. I think the world agrees with me, too. Planet Earth agrees with me.
It was a really great game.
Super Mario Maker, drop the mic.
you put Super Mario Maker above like everything else that came out this year?
Yeah, because I'm still playing it. I'm still creating stages and I'm still enjoying the crap out of the game. So yeah,
I
have to say that's probably my favorite game that was released last year.
Nice.
Liz.
Oh wow.
Okay, so that everybody is aware, Liz is her child is turning one this year, so she got to spend her full year with a child. So, did you actually get to play anything new this year?
Nope, only WoW. Yep.
The legend continues.
So her favorite game of 2015 is World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor.
No, I didn't actually play Warlords of Draenor because that sucked. I just made new characters and played old content for about 2 hours of every week.
Free Warlord stuff. Yeah! let's see. My favorite game of 2015.
Witcher.
I don't know. Did I start playing Witcher in December or January?
You started playing it in January.
I don't think that really matters because it released. The game itself is of 2015.
Yeah, but it has to be a game I played in 2015.
Well, then it's obviously Tomb Raider.
Maybe.
I was going to say freaking Rock Band.
I think it actually might be Rock
That's
Band.
True. That's
I did true. Dump a lot of time into Rock Band this year, which is really weird because, I mean, I play a bunch of other stuff too, but it's like... Rock Band definitely stole my heart this year.
Rock Band's coming
2015.
Back.
Didn't you make some kind of special commitment to Best Buy just so that you could get stuff for Rock Band?
No, but I am
going to start.
I am like sectioning off $25 every paycheck ever since I bought the game.
It's like a
to buy more songs for the
it's
game.
Like a drug.
So I've got like over 100 extra songs in that game now. It's pretty ridiculous.
You're still buying songs? Like
I think I'm actually not going to buy any songs this pay. I got paid today, and I don't think I'm going to buy any songs today.
And that's for another discussion.
well, all good games. All good games.
Yeah. One thing I did want to talk about, I want to make sure that we talk about, because we didn't actually record any kind of like a Christmas episode, because we had the 24-hour gaming marathon going on, was this kid. All right, okay, so let me paint you a picture story real quick.
Well, I thought you were going to at least say that congratulations, Daniel made it through the 24-hour gaming marathon.
Actually, yeah, that's Daniel made it with me through the 24 hours. He didn't fall asleep 18 hours in.
That's amazing.
And I think that was probably mostly Battlefront help there, since we spent like the last 10 or 12 hours playing that game.
Oh my God. So many hours.
We done a lot of hours in there. But okay, so yeah, so let me paint you a picture story real quick. It's Christmas, right? You're, honestly, I don't know how old this kid was.
A wee lad.
So, let's say...
Let's just make it funny. He's five.
He's five, alright? Let's just say he's five. It's Christmas morning, and there's all these gifts
Dad,
under the tree.
Get?
There's this one big box under the tree. I'm like, oh, snap, I'm going to open that box today, right? And your parents are like, no, 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 you need to open all the small gifts first. And you're like, come on. Right. Oh. So you go through, you open all the small gifts. Oh, that's really nice. A new shirt for school. I'm not excited about that at all. Other things, right? And then you get to the big box. You're like, all right, I know this is going to be dope because they made me open it last. You open up that box and you find out there's a PS4 and they're like, oh my goodness. So you're pumped about your new PS4. So let's go hook it up to the TV. Let's open that box up. So he opens the box, and what do you find? A block of wood with, quote, a lewd image etched on it.
And the crying begins.
Okay. No! Somebody's parents gave their 5-year-old child a pornographic block of wood.
Oh,
No.
So
they didn't know that.
So they ordered a PS4.
They bought a PlayStation from the store. They brought it home, wrapped it up. When the kid unwrapped it for Christmas and opened the box, there was a block of wood inside with a penis.
Okay, they think they bought their child PlayStation 4. And instead, they opened it to be, somebody's dying.
Yeah. Well,
so help me if
the
my
kid's
child
dying emotionally.
Kind of pornographic. Oh, no. If, I don't care what store it's from. If you give my child some kind of messed up piece of wood instead of a gaming system, somebody's going to be in a body bag, to be totally honest.
Needless to say that the store was mortified and quickly gave them, you know, a new system and I think some store credit to get some free games.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, $100.
They gave him store credit to get Mario. And probably like one of the Lego
we
games.
Said it was
you're
a
not
going to
make up for the wood that had some titties on it. Like, this is ridiculous.
Well, apparently $100 makes up for all the kids' trauma.
The kid was like, woo!
It's me!
That's unbelievable.
Until the kid got home and realized he couldn't play Mario on his new PlayStation 4.
Like, I didn't even want this console.
Well, man, actually, that kind of turned out a little bit in his favor if they gave him free games along with it. Extra Christmas.
Well, if you think about it, $100 buys you 1.5 games.
That's true, actually.
So
unless you're buying him some used games.
That and, like, let's just say he has a sibling or something and they bought another controller. Then you got a controller and half a game.
True.
But so yeah. Anyway, I thought that story was amazing.
pretty unique.
I saw it, I was like, oh, we have to talk about this on the podcast.
If you just think about the guys like in the factory where that thing like shipped from to the store. It's like, hey, dude, you know it'd be funny. Check out this block of wood I found outside.
I think it was probably like a return. Like somebody bought a PS4 and then they're like, I'm gonna return it, block of wood inside. That way I get a free PS4.
If that's the case, I have a problem with that store because that means that the person who took the PlayStation 4 back in the store didn't check.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to check the device to make sure that the serial numbers match up with the boxes and things like that. So
that's the problem you have with the story.
Yeah, I don't care about the block of wood.
That doesn't matter.
If you were really going to return it, and all you wanted was to get yourself a free PlayStation, why would you bother to etch anything into the wood? Why not just stick some stuff in there and return it? Why bother to go to that extra mile?
Maybe he already had it etched in, and so he just grabbed the nearest thing. He's like, hey, this looks like it weighs about the same amount.
They just wanted a stockpile of lewdly etched wood. Like, this is
all the worst things in this world.
You know, that does bring up a point. Like, he probably had to put in some work to make the block of wood fit into the box.
Wasn't the block of wood about the same shape as the PlayStation?
It was about the same shape as the PlayStation.
Yeah, there's just a little bit
of that. So we're looking for a carpenter, like an experienced carpenter or something.
Evil carpenters.
I won't go there. Never mind.
So anyway, okay. So I think we could all probably relate to this story in some shape or form.
I've never put a block of wood in a PlayStation box.
No, I'm talking about a different story now. But definitely not to this extreme. There's this man who lives in a sleepy little town in Iceland. one fateful holiday evening, and he is playing his video games and apparently raged so hard that his neighbors were so distressed about it that they called the police.
Oh, gosh.
And we begin. I don't know. I definitely had my own share of rage. Actually, I think most of my rage came from PvP in general. So mostly PvP and WoW. And the last game I actually PvP'd in would be League of Legends.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And same for me. I mean, I have to admit to, come clean about some frustration here and there. There are people who, saw the angry Nate. Nate is not a fun person to be around, you know, when you're screaming at a television. But
it's our new web series, Angry Nate.
But anyways, those days are a ways behind me, but they did occur back in the day. So to an extent, I understand, but I think it could easily be, I mean, yes, the guy overreacted, but I think the flip side is the other people may have overreacted as well, but I don't know.
Well,
I wasn't there.
He was also speculated to be in his 30s.
Oh, wow. Well.
Which, one, makes me wonder what game he was playing. You know,
Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know. What game are you playing in your 30s that make you
just
destroy everything around you?
At least I had the excuse of being young when I fell into that.
Right?
Because if you think about it, if you've been playing PvP, how often have you told somebody that they needed to kill themselves? Now, if you don't know he's playing a video game, but he lives with his girlfriend and you live next door, you kill yourself and how worthless you are, I might call the cops.
Yeah, that's true. Like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm okay with listening to this.
Like, I'm going to rape you.
Oh, my like, God. Okay.
If the girlfriend's like one of those really quiet personality types, you just ever see them when they're going out to get their mail. They're so nice. They wave every day.
So, apparently, I've read quite a few articles about virtual reality being, like, the new thing for, like, 2016. Like, it's supposed to actually catch on. Kind of like when, like, everybody was obsessed with 3D for a while. Like, oh, this monitor's 3D and blah, blah, blah. But not that many people bought 3D monitors. So, supposedly, this is the year for VR. And we finally got the pricing for Oculus Rift. I know this is somewhat old news. It's a few weeks old now. But Oculus Rift is going to come into retail pricing at $600.
Pocket change.
I think that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, who seriously is going to have the money to... Oh, man. Yeah, no. I can't drop over half a grand.
So what makes it worse is, like, if this was going to be, like, a widely adopted thing, it has to be the price of a peripheral. Like, if you think about it, NVIDIA was saying that it's actually going to require a pretty decently powerful computer to actually even be playing in VR. They're recommending at least a GTX 970, which if anybody doesn't know, I don't even know how much they're estimated right now.
Well, yeah,
I already guessed they're $400.
I was reading that list too, and they only list five video cards that can handle it, five or six. And yet, yeah, 970 was the lower end of on the list.
Wow. Pretty,
the other end was the Titan X, and nobody's going to be able to get that. Nobody.
Yeah, it's freaking $1,000 graphics card. But yeah, so on top of your $600 peripheral, you have to put in at least, let's say, an even $1,000 into a computer, assuming you don't already have one, to be able to do this.
Yeah, about that.
That's why I'm going to go ahead and call it right now on, well, at this time of recording, it's January 29th, 2016, that VR is not going to make it, unless the PlayStation 1 is actually cheap, but we'll see. Sorry?
It's going to make it, just not in video games. I bet you $5, actually, in somewhere around 5 to 10 years, that it would be the biggest thing at every pornography convention out there.
Oh, for God.
Well, it's not going to be in video games. Because they're all playing video games.
Well, I guess...
You heard it here first.
Make it cheap. Like, from that perspective, you could use just, like... the Google Cardboard,
yeah,
or, you know, any type of mobile thing.
Who wouldn't? Unbelievable.
How much money you would make if you made the first app that was, like, for Google Cardboard that had pornography on it?
That's already out.
No, but she's saying, what if you made the first?
Sorry. How do I know that?
Wait, what? Daniel? Daniel?
I'm trying to go through virtual reality apps, and there weren't any on the iTunes store that I saw that was like that. So how did you know?
I'll tell you about some sites later.
Daniel!
Just kidding. Or am I?
Well, some other podcast, some other time, people.
Well, hey, it's either going to be the virtual reality or what was introduced to me in class, in my sci-fi lit class, was that robotics. There's a debate going on right now regarding the advances in robotics and how they'll be applied to the sex trade. Eventually.
It reminds me of that episode of The Big Bang Theory where he created the robotic hand. He needed to go to the doctor because he got stuck.
Oh, gosh.
To be fair, they have to blow up dolls now, so essentially.
I saw a video of a guy with a robotic arm, and he was moving it almost as fast as somebody with a normal arm. So.
It's like, look at that thing go.
So we're getting to the point where robotics are, I mean, they're pretty advanced now. So, I mean, the movement is very fluid, but.
So speaking of the future, you know, there's this futuristic game coming out called The Division.
Does it have robotic body parts?
So The Division's coming out. The beta started yesterday for it, and if you don't already know, The Division is supposed to be this open world MMO third person shooter. And it's set in the future in sort of like a, what's the word for like a, like society has been degraded and...
America.
America.
Well, anyway, it's kind of like, it's based in New York City, and the city's all run down and everything, and so...
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so that's coming out. We've actually received a little bit more news about it recently, is that like a portion of the map isn't even going to be showing up in The Division in the final cut. I heard like Brooklyn in its entirety is no longer part of the game anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Jeez. So it's pretty, apparently massive chunks of this have been taken out.
Oh gosh.
Which kind of makes me worried that I'm kind of wondering, like, what if The Division comes out and I just don't like it? Like, they've built so much hype about
it.
It turns out to be Watch Dogs.
Well, so I watched game footage of The Division recently. I was watching a guy play through the beta, and it scared me because not only, like, when I was watching, I was like, I feel like I've seen this before. And... then the person that was playing said it, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's right. He said, this reminds me of Destiny. Yeah. And the minute he said that, I was like, oh my gosh. And I got real worried because that could be really bad. But it's true. Like, it's very similar elements. You're, you know, a low-level character. It's post-apocalyptic, slightly futuristic, not super futuristic, but, and I mean, like, the combat is very similar. The enemy have, you know, HP bars, so it's like, the combat just looks and feels very similar to Destiny, but of course it would be Destiny with a much better plot and storyline. There's that. But...
Well, there's supposed to be, like, story-driven missions for that game.
Right. Like, it's definitely looking much better than Destiny did, but it's...
I've also heard that it's comparable to Defiance.
Defiance. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of that, not a ton.
Yeah, I never did play Defiance, but, although I think Defiance is free to play now.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a huge game.
Yeah.
Wasn't super popular.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I still plan on probably buying the game, and actually another article that I read was that people... Okay, so if you didn't already know, they removed the Defiance beta from PS4 completely. And the reason why is because you were able to get into the
Division
beta.
Or Defiance? You said Division.
Oh, sorry. The Division.
Okay.
My bad. You were able to get the Division beta if you pre-ordered the game. But what people were doing was they would go onto the PS4 store, and then they'd pre-order the game, they'd get the beta to the Division, and then they would cancel their pre-order right after that.
Oh,
so they wouldn't be charged, and then they'd still have access. So, wow. So many people did this that they just go ahead and pulled it from
that
the PS4.
That is ridiculous. Really punishing the fans there.
Yeah. I was like, man, I wanted a chance to try it.
Good grief.
Unbelievable.
That is ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Very, very, yeah. So,
lots to look forward to there.
Yeah. EA is not showing up to E3.
Aww.
Well, EA, I mean, I can't say that I'm, like, super shocked by it, I guess. I mean, EA has been building a really bad rep with their fan base. I mean, everyone has been upset with them.
Been doing that for, like, 10 years.
Well, I mean, it's just, like, you keep hearing more and more and more about it. Everybody hates EA. I mean, now if I just watch a video for any game on YouTube, and if it has anything to do with EA, there's hate speech going on about EA all over that video. Like, it's like, it takes over every forum or, you know, podcast, anything that is related to EA, from what I've seen.
So. No, it's true. I mean, and their games are purely the evidence for that.
Yeah.
I mean, with the Battlefront. I mean, I know that, you know, me and Danny, we played it for several hours during the 24-hour gaming marathon, but, I mean, it's like half a game.
Mm-hmm. If that.
At most. Yeah.
Like,
and,
yeah.
It's pretty bad. I mean, and we've talked about this before, about how DLC is starting to become more of like a thing you have to get.
Yeah.
Not so much of a thing that's like an option anymore.
Well, and now, especially with Battlefront, I mean, with previous games, I didn't really see this as much. But with Battlefront, it seems really blatant. It's like...
Yeah.
It's like you're buying the other half of the game that should have already been there.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not a lot of stuff that you want. Like, some of it's okay, I guess, but from what I've heard, the DLC doesn't really have anything that everybody was hoping. It's basically just more maps, right? Like, that's the major chunk that I've heard about.
Yeah, mostly maps.
And considering
and
they had barely any in the beginning game anyways, they have the audacity to charge $50 for that?
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
$50? It's like buying the game a second time. You're buying a smaller portion for it at $10 less than you bought the other chunk for. Unless, of course, you bought some special edition, then you spent close to $100.
What was it on Battlefront? 120? Isn't that what I said?
The deluxe edition plus season pass, I think, was 120.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that may have been the way to go, I guess, if it may have saved you a little bit.
Well, what you got in the deluxe edition, you could unlock if you played the game.
Yeah, I know. Played the game for 3 hours and you unlock everything.
Yeah, and, I mean, all of that is even worse when you look at games where they didn't do that, and they were fine. So it's like, what? It's like so blatant. It's like, we know you don't have to do it this way.
Yeah.
But you're choosing to do it this way. So it's pretty clear that you want your money and you don't give a crap about your fans.
Yeah.
It's very true. Like, so people are speculating that EA not showing up to E3 will be sort of the beginning of the end for E3.
I don't see that. Myself. I mean, like, why... I guess I don't know how E3 started. Did they start it or something? But what, do they have a lot of, I guess, leverage there in the E3 theater? Because, I mean, if as long as there's other major groups still going, nobody really cares if EA's there or not. I mean, the fans, if anything, are going to be happier.
I don't have to get excited about something and then be disappointed when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're just giving them, you know, less disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, but seriously, over the last couple of years, who really watches E3 anymore?
I don't watch it, but I definitely read a lot of news the week of E3.
Well, and who certainly watches it for EA?
Yeah, I mean, trailers is really what E3 means for me.
Right. It's like...
Yeah. It's where I first saw The Division, actually.
Yeah. There are some cool things to see at E3.
Yeah, there's definitely, because you still got a ton of vendors that show up to E3.
Yeah.
You still got Sony, you got Microsoft, you got Ubisoft. We still got all these, the rest of these game companies that still show up, and they provide really great presentations for their games that they anticipate to come out.
Yeah.
The only thing I dislike about E3 is the fact that these companies can say things about their future games that don't even come out for, like, 5 years.
Right.
Like, Watch Dogs. I first saw Watch Dogs in, like, E3 2008 or 9 or whatever that was, or something like that. And then it took several years for it to come out, and it came out, and it wasn't even that good.
Well, and speaking of presentations, just going to, like, Fallout 4's presentation, Bethesda's presentation, I have to say, I'd be interested in getting that from all game companies, because I mean, it was great. I mean, it's like you didn't hear anything about the game until it was already, you know, a few months away from releasing, and it was already almost done, so they could say whatever they wanted to, and like all of it was accurate and already due to release.
Yeah,
like they blew everyone away, so I would like to see that more.
Yeah. So Daniel.
Marcus.
I know that you really like Five Nights at Freddy's and all that fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
About that game. Would you like to tell me about Five Nights at Freddy's World?
Yeah, it sucks.
You heard it here first, everybody.
There it is.
There's a game review that'll stand the test of time, apparently.
So apparently the I can't think of the game developer's name, but the guy who developed the games decided he was going to create this new version of the game, which was more kiddie-looking, and it was kind of like an RPG-style type game, and released it on Steam. People bought it. Some people liked it. A lot of people complained. The guy said...
Is it even scary anymore? If it's, kiddified?
No, it's an RPG.
It's like an RPG.
It's completely different from the rest of the Five Nights at Freddy's.
So it's got nothing to do with the original premise as far as, you know, getting a few scares or...
Yeah, so like the original games, the first four games were like a jump scare game, and, you know, it's made famous by, you know, like Markiplier and PewDiePie when they go...
Ah!
All the
time.
It's
very true, actually.
The new version that's come out is basically an RPG with, you get to play as Freddy Fazbear or Chica and the other characters, and yeah, just, it wasn't good. The developer realized his mistake, and he pulled it from the market.
Please.
And he asked Steam to basically remove the whole two-week, I believe it's like a two-week return policy. He said, go ahead and remove that and give everybody an unlimited return policy that if you just don't like the game, get your money back. So... It's kind of cool that a developer realized his mistakes and owned up to it and didn't try to pull an EA on us. And
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the complete opposite of what we were just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got to say, honor of that magnitude is becoming more and more a rare and precious thing, especially on Steam, where people can put whatever they want, like, seemingly, like nothing developers that come out of like nowhere can make whatever they want, even if it's crap, put it on there and cheat people. And I've seen some like horror stories of like companies that release a game that's really bad. And then they, you know, use fake reviews to make it look good or have a good rating on Steam. And then if it does bad, they just pull it off, rename it, and put this exact same game on as with a new title.
It's pretty messed up. And it's part of the reason why I don't freaking buy indie games.
Yeah.
But it consumes like 95% of Steam.
Yeah.
Like, Steam, I'm calling you out right now. Create a filter that lets me filter out all indie games. Don't let me create a filter that lets me sort in things. I want to sort out indie games. That's it.
Exclude.
Liz, what's your take on indie games?
I think they're mostly a waste of time. Because not
God. Indie games, I can't.
People have a lot of money dumped into them. And indie games don't have a lot of money dumped into them. They usually have, like, one relatively good idea or one good theme, but not enough money or effort was put into it to make it good. So.
But see, I was telling Marcus this today, like, there was this game that just came out. It's an indie, made by an indie developer called Undertale. And the game has gotten good reviews. It's the graphics look like crap. I mean, it looks like something that came out from the Super Nintendo era. But it got great reviews, and the game just looks amazing. And, I mean, I'm getting ready to play it and start streaming it. I'm ready to play this game. And those are the type of games I'm looking for. Something that's just has a good story, something that looks fun, and I don't care if a lot of money's dumped into it. I don't need flashy graphics or anything like that.
Right.
All right, well, I do. Flashy. If I had wanted to play a great game that doesn't have flashy graphics, I would go play something from my childhood, like one of the Final Fantasy games. That's what I would spend my time on. I'm not going to spend my time on somebody who lives in their parents' basement and made a semi-decent game.
Thank you, Liz.
If they had an idea that should have been a game, they should have gone and got some company to back their idea, sold their soul out, and then made a good game.
Yeah, but some companies won't back their idea because they don't want to take a risk on the idea. And that's where the whole idea, the premise of these indie developers come from.
Well, and they should have brought some strippers with them.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's a way to fund these things.
If you want to get your game published...
It's hilarious. Okay, well, this all being said, I'm not completely against indie games. There are some that I play, and yeah, I mean, let's just take Payday for instance. You know, Payday isn't a game that's AAA. It's not heavily advertised at all. They put all of their development into the game, so that. You know, they don't have to be spending money on their advertisements and all that stuff. And then they use their users, their users to be able to generate all of the good feedback and be able to spread that out the way it has. And unfortunately, they've started to get a little money hungry and they've developed a bit of a bad rep as of recently. But, you know, for several years, it turned out extremely well for them. So, and it's being, and definitely seeing the changes from Payday 1 to Payday 2, man, it's definitely one of those rare success stories for indie developers.
Yeah.
I think.
It's definitely seen as a pretty high quality game, from what I can tell. I mean, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, you should buy Payday 1 and just see where Payday came from. It's pretty different.
Well, and I've seen a lot of, like, side scrollers that are, you know, actually using, like, pixel art, but they do it in a way that makes it look attractive. I mean, it's like an artwork rather than a, you know, realistic, mind-blowing graphic. It's just, it's more like artwork. And some of it looks good.
Yeah. Well, one final thing I wanted to talk about before we finally convene, or I guess convene is to start up. What's the opposite of convene? End?
To disembowel? That's fine.
Disembowel?
Disembark?
Unenvene? Convene?
Deconvene.
Deconvene?
I don't know.
Before we all leave,
so
I wanted to give everybody a chance to say their most anticipated game of 2016.
Legion.
So, Nate, how about you first?
Most anticipated game.
Whew,
I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that, but I have to say, I did look at Black Desert a little bit, and it's looking pretty good.
Right?
It's looking pretty good. I'll give it that. And
he just Ric Flair'd it. He was like, woo!
Woo! Plus, I mean, what really gets me is the way it looks, and I haven't played an MMO in a while, so I kind of need that itch scratched. But also, it's I don't think it's going to be monthly. I think it's going to be a pay once, and it's yours, just like Guild Wars 2. And Guild Wars 2 is pretty successful.
Daniel?
Yeah, it's a Nintendo game. I'm looking forward to Star Fox.
Nice.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
And, well, it's either going to be really tough between Star Fox or the new Zelda game, but I'm kind of concerned that the new Zelda game is going to be released on the NX, but that's for another story.
Yeah.
Thought they said it wouldn't be.
Nah, there have been known to backtrack before.
Liz?
Liars.
The Legion. Although I don't have to wait very long because Keith got Alpha.
Oh, the Legion expansion to World of Warcraft. Nice. When does Alpha open? Is it already open?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, it came out yesterday. That's pretty cool. For me, jeez.
Cheese and crackers.
Did I steal yours, Marcus?
Yeah, actually, you probably did. If anybody has been around Temple of Geek long enough, I actually wrote one of the few times I've written an article. It was one of my very first articles was about Black Desert and how excited I was to see this game come to the Western market, because it's definitely it's a Korean game that's migrating its way over. So, but yeah, either Black Desert or I'm still trying to keep my money on Final Fantasy 15. So, or actually, you know what? Uncharted. That's what I'm calling it right now. Uncharted.
Because you played through the rest of the series, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So.
Extremely fun games. I can definitely
more
only
so
say
than Tomb Raider. I guess they're pretty much just like Tomb Raider, but.
They are very similar, and I think that's the reason why I like Tomb Raider so much, is that they play very similarly, where you're kind of climbing around and stuff, right. And it's a third-person shooter type thing.
And I guess The Last of Us also falls into that category.
Last of Us, also made by Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog, just as of the last 5 or so years, have made really amazing games.
Doing it right, man. Red Dead
Redemption.
They
have definitely been making... really good. Yeah, I forgot they did Red Dead Redemption
also
too.
Also a big hit.
And for all you old school players, not Crash Bandicoot, but what's the other
Crash
one?
Bandicoot is a good one, man.
They didn't do Crash. They did Banjo-Kazooie. So
I remember walking through Target as a kid back when I wasn't allowed to have a console. And walking by the Nintendos that they had hooked up to TVs and just sitting there playing Banjo-Kazooie, thinking it was the coolest thing ever. And I never actually got to play any game like that at length. What'd you say, Liz?
That is my favorite N64 game.
Really?
Banjo-Kazooie or Crash Bandicoot?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's just proof that Naughty Dog has been pumping out amazing games since the dawn of time.
They know how to do
well, I want to thank every single one of you for showing up today.
And we want to thank you for being the gracious host.
Oh. Alright. I accept your thanks. Yeah, Liz is like, I don't care about you.
From
you're
all
okay.
of us to all of
you're
you.
Okay.
From all of us to all of you, go to hell and good night.
Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Knights of the Game Table podcast. Again, thanks everybody for showing up to today's discussion. Stay tuned to templeofgeek.com for the next all new episode. Check out our writing. Check out all of our podcasts. We have three of them, by the way. And we are starting this awesome web series called Lock, Stock, and Two Gaming Dudes, starring yours truly and Mr. Daniel Slade. So be sure to check that out. It's actually pretty hilarious. I enjoy recording it.
Yeah, first episode will be out this Tuesday.
So probably the same day this episode comes out.
This episode comes out on Thursday, so 2 days before this episode.
Never mind. So whenever you're listening to this, it will already be out, so that means you should go watch it right now. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Temple of Geek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.